your truck to the coffee in your cup. Don't thank the corner store or that early morning rush. Thank a farmer.
Welcome everyone to another edition of Community in Depth. This is very exciting because I have a real live dairy farmer on the other end of this phone, and I'm going to learn about a new initiative that he has started. He has a new friend that's a robot and is helping him with his dairy farming. So we want to welcome to KDWA Justin Schaefer. And Justin, really nice to chat with you. How are you?
For sure. Great. Nice day outside and things are going well, so you gotta enjoy the nice days when you get them.
I bet you do, because dairy farming, you do it every day regardless if it's a nice day, right?
Yeah, every day, all day. So even last week when it was hot out, you try not to do the strenuous jobs when it's hot outside, but you still got to take care of all your cattle and your herd and everything else you got going on. So
Justin, tell us a little bit about yourself. You are calling us from Hastings.
Yeah, I just live south of town on a family dairy farm. Graduated from Hastings High School in 2013. I did 2.5 years worth of college, studying dairy farming management and ag finance. Worked for a few different farms during that time, and now this is my 4th year full-time on the family farm. So I farm with my dad, uncle, and 2 older brothers.
That's pretty cool. Tell us what you learned in college about farming.
So in my first year, I went to Wisconsin Indian Head Tech College in Rice Lake, Wisconsin. Studied, it was called Dairy Herd Management. It was a 9-month program. Really just got to go out on different farms and kind of see what's out there. Before college, I always had the intention that I wanted to run the family dairy farm someday. So it kind of got me out, got me some things, and really got a good wrap around the basics of dairy farming, anywhere from anatomy to feeding to reproduction, and then also different management techniques on how to manage those areas and aspects of dairy. Probably the best part from that program is really what got started into what I have today. Spring semester, we did a banker interview, so we had to come up with a plan and present it to a bank. In school, when I was in college, that's when I really learned that I want to stay in dairy, and you go out and you tour all these newer facilities and whatnot and see how well things can be if you have a nice, efficient facility for your cows. So I decided, well, if I want to come back home, I think the first thing to do is start looking at maybe building a new barn. House more cows, more comfort, more production, more efficient, so forth. And so that's what I presented to the banker. I want to build this barn, how many cows I'm thinking, and how we're going to do things. And he said it's a very good plan, but I wasn't very good with numbers and finances at the time, and so he encouraged me to do some more schooling in that area. And so then I transferred to Northeast Iowa Community College in Northeast Iowa, and I did another year of dairy, it was an associate's degree, so my year from Wisconsin transferred in. So he really got more in depth on the management side of things, and then I did a semester of ag finance. I really learned different marketing techniques and how to do budgets and cash flows and balance, and I also learned what interest is all about. So interest on money isn't just a certain percentage. It's a percentage amortized, so it continues to roll. So I learned a lot about that stuff, too. So that's very important because, I mean, farming's a big business. It's big money. It's a lot of big dollars coming in, and it's a lot of big dollars coming right back out, and margins are always tight. So learning the financials was definitely a very good decision on mine.
So for your dad and your uncles, did you say your grandparents too you farm with?
My dad, my uncle, and my 2 older brothers.
So what did they think of you coming back as a young whippersnapper and having your college degree in farming?
Right. So when I was in college, I worked for 2 different dairies, one in Wisconsin and one in Iowa. So that was good experience to learn how other people do their things, because no farm is the same. Every farm is different. They all have different ways of doing things, but they all have the same goal. So that was important. And then a year out of college, I worked for a neighbor, kind of working under the owner's belt of the management areas of the farm. So that was a good thing. And then when I decided to come back home, they knew I wanted to come home, but they kind of thought I'd maybe stay away from home for a little bit longer. It was kind of a long talk, but I said, I basically presented them. It's like, well, you know, I kind of have this vision and this goal, and we just can't can't keep farming the same way all the time. You always got to improvise and reinvest and adapt to new technology and all those sorts of good stuff. So I basically said I want to come home and let's work towards building a barn and keeping the dairy on the farm for years to come. So they took it all right, and I came back home, and it was kind of a slow transition. My dad was the one that mostly made daily management decisions with the cows, and that was really my aspect. So it took a good 6 months to a year for him to kind of let the reins really go and kind of let me do things, and it took some time. And, you know, you don't just kind of come home and start doing it your way, because dad and uncle, they did it their way for 30 some years. And so it was kind of a slow year-long transition to say, well, maybe we should try tweaking this management practice to do it this way instead of that way. And once you do that for a little bit, and then that's kind of how you prove yourself that, well, hey, yeah, this actually might work. Try something else. And then before you know it, they built up a lot of trust in me that I kind of have an idea of what I'm doing. And so now here we are. This is my fourth year on the farm, and now I'm the one managing the dairy, making all the daily calls, breeding and vaccination work, and if there's any possible treatments to do or those types of things, just all sorts of different management stuff we do. So my dad and uncle they're still involved. They help out with a lot of different areas, and then so they're still a key aspect, but we're kind of to the point now where it's kind of my brothers and I, we make a lot of the decisions, but again, a lot of different decisions. A lot of your day-to-days are kind of individually decided, but your bigger decisions are still as a whole group, as a whole five of us, and then I have two older brothers. One manages the crop side of things, and then I have a middle brother who's really good with mechanics. He's kind of the floater, I like to call it. He does the feeding in the morning, and he does a lot of mechanics work throughout the day. So that's kind of one key to success as well, is to have multiple people that are good in certain areas. That's mm-hmm. how you really get to be proactive towards your goals, and you're not micromanaging all the time. So we all kind of have our little areas of the farm that we're really good at, and then still meet in the middle at the end of the day of making different decisions, you know, things are going.
And it sounds like you're diversified too, if you do crop farming as well.
Yeah, we are. We really are. And that definitely helped, because with markets and things like that, the markets are very cyclical in the agriculture world. It's very hard to just have one entity of farming and to be successful, because then you have extreme highs, extreme lows. So when you're diversified, you really spread out that financial risk. We have the dairy, and we have some cash crops, so we raise corn and soybeans on top of what we need to feed the cows. And we're also, for a few years now, we've been doing some canning crops. Those are very popular in rural Dakota County, southern Minnesota, western Wisconsin. So we raise, and double canning crops are double crops. They're 60-day crops. So we raise peas, and then once those are off, then we put sweet corn in that field, and then another field we'll do green beans. So we'll do green beans, and then a week later we'll plant green beans again. So the canning crops do really well for us. That's a contract agreement where we do some of the work. The company does the rest of the work, because those canning crops are specialized hard equipment, so they come in with their own machines and their own crew to do the harvesting and whatnot. We do most of the planting, the planting and things of that nature, and it's all a contract agreement, so we know what the price of those crops is going to be up front, and then if it yields more than what's expected, we get some additional payments. So based on regular just corn and soybeans over the last 4 years, those prices have been depressed pretty low, so the canning crops definitely help the cash flow as well. So we'll feed out steers as well. We the male bull calves them out to finish weight, and then we sell them as well. So we kind of have almost four different entities, really, on the farm.
That's pretty cool. Tell us more about your herd of cows, or do I call them cattle? And what kind of cows? I know all cows produce milk, but what kind mm-hmm. are the milkers?
Right now, we're milking about 100 cows. We have the capacity to milk 210. We will be milking 210 by the fall. And so we raise everything on the farm. The cows, those are milking. They become pregnant. They have calves, and all the calves are raised on the farm. So calves become heifers, you like to call them, as they get older, and we get them bred. And then once they have their first calf, and then they become a milk cow. That's kind of how the cow process goes. They have a calf before we're able to milk them. And that usually happens about 22 months of age. And then from there on is when we really call them cows. So then they will be in the milking herd on average 12 to 13 months. During that process, they're getting milked every day. Again, we're trying to get them pregnant again at the right time, and then they'll have another calf. Before they have their calf, they go dry. We call them dry cows. And so we actually, I like to call it, we give them 2 months of bed rest. They've given us 12 to 13 months of good milk production, and so then we give them 2 months of rest where we're not milking them. They're really putting all that energy that they eat every day to develop that calf, so be a full birth weight and healthy, and then also the cow can be healthy coming back in, so once she has her calf, she comes milking again. So that's kind of how the cow side works. And then on the bull calf side, the bulls, we don't milk the bulls. They're male, so we just feed them out to finishing weight, and then they get sold. That's kind of how the cattle transition works.
How long does a cow live to be?
Well, every farm is different. I just built a new barn for our milk cows, and I know we'll definitely get into that. But for us, we get about 3 to 4 calves out of our cows, which would be 5 to 6 years of age, I would say. That really varies on the farm. It varies on the facility and their cow comfort. So for us, our average 3 to 4 calves, 5 to 6 years of age. With my new facility, there's a lot more comfort. It's a facility that's designed for the way we build barns today, not like the way we built barns 40 years ago, like the barn I just came from. And so I'm definitely anticipating that the average age of my cows to increase, which is a good thing. Older cows are already paid for. They milk more than younger cows, so they're definitely a much more prof cows. It's a very good thing to try to keep them around as long as possible.
So let's talk about your new facility, and right. I understand that you have a robot.
Right, I do. That is the latest and greatest technology in the dairy world. Before we had a traditional parlor, which was built back in the 70s. We were actually one of the first farms in the county to have a parlor. And we just built a new barn. It'll actually be 2 months this week we've been in it. And it is a robotic barn. About 3 to 4% of dairy farms in the U.S. are milking robotically. So it's a fairly new technology. It's been quite a journey to get to what we have here. It took all of 3 to 4 years to plan for this, of what we want to do and how to design the barn, and are we for sure going to put robots in or are we not? So now here we are. We have 3 robots, and they're all in the middle of the barn along the sidewall, and the barn is it holds up to 210 cows. Cows are smart. They're actually really smart, a lot smarter than most people might think. The cows have free access in the barn to do whatever they'd like to do. If they want to lay down, walk around, get a drink of water, go eat, get their back scratched by some cow brushes I got in the barn, or go get milk. It's a station on the sidewall of the barn, and they walk in. Each cow has a ID tag, and the robot reads the tag, and if she's able to, the robot will milk her. The computer system, it's all programmed. They're only allowed milk after so many hours from their previous milking. So actually some cows will come in before their allowance, and then the robot will just let her back out. So that's kind of how that works. That bumps up the efficiency a little bit. But basically the cow walks in, and she walks in for 2 reasons. One, because her udder could be full. She's got pressure because she wants to be milked, so she could be getting slightly uncomfortable. Cows actually like to be milked, so that'd be the enticement number one for them to come to the robot. The second reason is they get fed a pellet in the robot, and the pellet is actually 60% of their daily energy. So we pulled some energy out of the ration that they eat at the bunk, and then we put it in the robot to help them entice them to come in. And actually, these pellets are cherry flavored. I've actually chewed on a mouthful when I first got them, so I kind of knew what they would like. Not extremely tasty for a human, but they're definitely cherry flavored. They smell good, and the cows like them. So that's kind of how it works. They're those 2 reasons. They're enticed to come in the robot. The reader will read their ear tag, so it knows what cow it is, and the robot will come through, and it'll literally milk the cow. It'll identify all the teats, and it does a pre-spray, which is like a disinfectant, and then it will wash and dry all the teats off so they're all clean, and then it'll manually attach all the milking cup, and it'll milk the cow out. And the cow's done. It puts a post dip on, which is like another disinfectant and also a conditioner, and then it'll just let the cow back out and back out in the barn to do freely whatever she would like to do.
How long does that process take?
On average, it takes about 6 minutes to milk a cow for us right now.
And do they ever line up?
Oh yeah, they line up. It's very fun to watch them. I mean, a lot. Now that it's cooler out, I mean, last week it was pretty warm, so cows don't really like warmer weather. But now that it's cooler out, things are kind of returning back to normal a little more now. And I was in the barn all morning, and all morning there were cows being milked and cows that waiting to be milked. They actually really liked the experience. The quiet experience. good environment. Yes, they really do like it.
How did you get them to know how to go over to the robots?
The very first week was a lot of training. We had people in the barn 24 hours a day for the first week. And we put cows in four different groups. So we continue to just rotate group. We'd bring them, we'd try to get them in the robot three times a day. So they all got milk three times a day. The robots were able to shut down and do a sanitizing washing cycle three times a day. So we did that for a week. We just moved cows around, got them through the robot. And then the second week, we kind of just stood back. We said, hey, let's see who goes in on their own, and then we'll go get the rest. And we kind of did that for a week. And then by week two, we pulled all the gating that we had in the barn. We had temporary gating because they were all in groups. And then we just kind of pulled them, and now they're all on their own. I shouldn't say all, but they're mostly all on their own. The robots are milking 23 hours out of the day. They shut down twice a day to do a wash cycle. And other than that, they're milking. They're open. Cows can walk in. On average, cows are milking 2.9 times a day. I have some cows that are milking 5 times a day, and I have some cows that are only milking every 16 to 18 hours. So that's how we get an average of 2.9 milkings a day, which is a very nice average to have. I have a handful of cows that are milking over 100 pounds a day. So those are your cows that are milking 4 and 5 times a day. Mm. And then I have those later lactation cows who are soon to go dry and soon to have a calf. And so they're not milking as much. So they're just not as enticed to go to the robot. So those are your cows that are only going to get milked about every 16 to 18 hours a day.
So what do you do during this time period? Do you have to supervise this, or can you just let the chips fall where they may?
Yeah, a little bit of both. It's not, now that I have a robot, you can't just not go back to the barn. There's still work to do. There's still management things to do. So at least 3 times a day, I'm in the barn. My biggest task when I'm in the barn is I go get what I call fetch cows. So the robot and the computer system, it knows everything about every single cow. It knows all the way down to the second that she was milked. I get a list, and this list is color-coded. And on that list, it'll tell me what cows are being milked right now, what cows do not have permission to be milked, what cows have permission to be milked. And the main thing I look at on that list is who are my fetch cows. And those are my cows that are overdue, that the permissions in the computer system are telling me that, hey, this cow needs milk. So then I go get her. And I probably have to do that too. It kind of varies, but there's maybe 10 cows. For sure, I'd say 10 cows, maybe some days 15 cows you have to go get each time I'm in the barn to say, hey, go get milk now. Those are your cows, the newer ones that maybe don't know the robot well quite yet, or usually those are your later lactations that aren't milking as much. Or it could be a cow that's just enjoying herself too much, lazy that day, and she don't want to go to the robot.
But this has definitely freed you up.
Yes. Again, we're only in it for almost two months now, so I haven't gotten to the point where I could take a vacation, let's say. I have a vacation plan, but it has made us a lot more flexible. So I'm able to, Sunday afternoon, I was able to sneak down to the baseball game for a few hours, go do this for a couple hours, go do that for a couple hours, or this job can wait a couple hours. I'm going to do this job, and then I'll come back to that job, kind of a thing. So previously, in the old barn with the parlor, we milk cows twice a day at times. It was like clockwork. It's just, it's this time we got to go do this, now it's that time we got to go do that. Now, with the robots, some things are still done the same time every day, but not everything. It's a lot more flexible now. So,
Justin, congratulations to you. This is just great. We want to thank our guest today, Justin Schaefer. He is a farmer in South Hastings, and we are thrilled that you told us all about your new process. Continued success to you, Justin.
Yes, for sure.
And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
Coffee in your cup. Don't thank the corner store.